I'm sorry, I don't have a list. But I do want us to think about something which I hope will be relevant for everyone. I want us to think about the hands of God. Okay, your hands. Something we perhaps take very much for granted, but our hands, and I am no expert, but our hands are remarkable things. They do so much. They handle things. I mean, I'm just looking at Dahlia here, writing away. Such precise control. They touch things. So we sense of touch, we get a sort of an understanding of part of the world around us by what we touch. They can protect us. Sometimes they can be used in aggression. But also they're used in communication. How many of us talk with our hands? And I want to talk about the hands of Jesus. Because his hands, like everybody's hands, were remarkable. But they were even more remarkable. Because they did things that ordinary people cannot do. You look into Mark chapter 6, there's a reference here to the hands of Jesus. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Jesus went out from there and he came to his own country, his own familiar place. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues. And many hearing him were astonished. Now this is about halfway through Jesus' public ministry, maybe even slightly more than that. From when then does this, they were astonished, and they said among themselves, from where does this man have these things? So they were referring to the things that Jesus said and taught. And what wisdom is this that is given to him, even that such mighty works, this is the important little bit, such mighty works are done by his hands. As I said, we're at least halfway, if not more, through Jesus' ministry, and his reputation had spread throughout the whole land. I mean, talk about an influencer. Jesus was an influencer long, long before the days of social media. His reputation spread everywhere. He was known. He was known for what he spoke and taught, but he was also known for what he did. And here they're talking among themselves, and it's like he has come back to his home country, his home neighbourhood, and they saw him grow up. In fact, they go on to say in verse 3, is this not the carpenter's son, who's the brother of James, Joseph, Judah, Simon, and his sisters? You know, and in another, one of the other Gospels it says, and We know him. He grew up with us. We know what he was like. And he was just like one of us. He ran down the streets as we did. He played games as we did. He visited other houses like we did. So where did this all come from? These amazing words and these marvelous works. And it says they were offended because they recognized that there was a difference. And one of the things they said, as it says in the end of verse 2, even such mighty works are done by his hands. And then the very next verse goes to talk about him being a carpenter. And if you think about a carpenter, and again, I'm no expert in this area either, but a carpenter knows how to work with his hands. He knows how to cut, to saw, to chisel, to plane and make the wood smooth, to join pieces of wood together I'm looking at a joiner here. I mean, he knows how to take pieces of wood and fit them together. Take an ordinary piece of wood. There's at least one person in the room who's a craftsman with wood. And make something very beautiful out of something that's very ordinary. And it takes the skill of someone's hands. And it is no different with Jesus. Jesus, he would have known that skill. He would have learned that skill. He would have started maybe around about 12 years old in his father's house. And he would have done this work for at least 18 years before it was time for him to enter into his public ministry and start traveling up and down the land. So he was used to working with his hands and working with wood. But when he started his public ministry, when he went around preaching and teaching and visiting people, he started not to work with wood, but with people. And the same skill, or even, I should say, even the greater skill that was in his hands in making wood, starts to be in his hands when he is handling people. Because people, like it or not, can be very difficult things to work with. God knows that. He knows that extremely well. I'm looking at you, but I'm also looking very much at myself in that category. God knows exactly how to handle us. And he knows how to take us, something that is ordinary and rough, and make it into something amazing and good. When we're looking at this list and these words, whoever believes in the Son, that word believe is not just giving a sort of an assent to a certain amount of facts. It's believing. It's committing yourself. It's saying, Lord Jesus, work in me. Let your hands do something in my life to make it beautiful and good from that which was ordinary and perhaps possibly even rebellious. Now we're going to look at some examples just quickly at some of the things that Jesus did with his hands. And I've chosen the book of Mark because Mark, the Gospel of Mark, is the gospel that portrays Jesus as a servant. I don't know if you knew that. Matthew portrays Jesus as the king. Luke as the Son of Man. John as the Son of God. But in Mark we see little details and an emphasis on what he did and how he travelled quickly from place to place and doing things. There's a lot of doing in the Gospel of Mark. And it starts early on. And that to me is remarkable. That here is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God himself, coming down and being a servant. Now, 3 weeks ago, Helen and I were in the Lake District, and we arrived at where we were going to stay for a few days. And we didn't realize it, but there was going to be a demonstration, well, I say demonstration, a display of the Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights. And because we were in the Lake District, it was dark. There was no artificial light. And we were treated to, it's the first time I've ever seen it, to some of the most amazing displays. If you want to talk to me afterwards, I've got the pictures on my phone. But they were extraordinary. And all this is taking place at about between 60 and 150 miles up in the atmosphere, as the charged particles from the sun react with oxygen and nitrogen. But it was extraordinary. And it was moving, constantly moving. And one of the things that gave me a sense of awesomeness was just the expanse and vastness of it. It was not in an auditorium or a football stadium. The whole sky was the backdrop and the stage. And as you looked at these lights and these colours and these shapes moving, it gave you just a very tiny glimpse into heaven. And just the sheer enormity and majesty of it all. And when you look at that, and realize that someone came from there or thereabouts, and he came to earth and he came to serve. He came to work with his hands, first of all in a carpenter's shop and then with people's lives. And we're going to look in Mark chapter 1. And here's one of the first instances where Jesus worked with his hands. Now, it does occur in Matthew and Luke, but as I said, we're going to look at it, the account in Mark. We're going to start in verse 30. Well, 29, they just visited the synagogue, and then they entered into the house of Simon, that's Peter, and Andrew, his brother, with the other brothers, James and John. And as they entered the house, verse 30, something is not right. Simon's wife's mother, in other words, Peter's mother-in-law, was sick. And it said that she lay sick. She was lying on the bed with a fever. I'm sure all of us have been sick at one stage or another, and having a cold or flu or COVID or something more serious is an awful, miserable thing to have. But she had this fever and she was lying sick. And it didn't seem they told him straight away, but by and by they told him about her. What did Jesus do when he heard that this woman was sick? He didn't say, well, you go, you sort it out. It says he came and he took her by the hand. So here's the first example, in Mark at least, of Jesus working with his hand upon this dear woman who is sick. And I love the order in which it's put here. It's interesting to compare the accounts in the other two Gospels. They are slightly different, and you have to sort of work it out. But here it says he took her by the hand and he lifted her up. That's one of the first things that Jesus does when he comes to you with his hands. No matter what's been going on in your life, whether it's sickness or some other thing, maybe it's events, circumstances which are just beyond your control. Something has happened to you which you did not expect, came out of the blue. Or someone has said something and is hurt. There are so many things that affect our lives. And it's like sometimes we feel like we want to lay down flat. We don't want to move. We can't face the day. We don't want to get up. But Jesus comes, takes us by the hand, and the first thing he does is he lifts us up. He always lifts. He never puts down. Jesus is not a bully. He loves. He cares. And he wants to exalt that which hath been depressed. And that's what happened with this woman. She was lying there and he lifted her up. And then it says, after she was lifted up, it says, then immediately the fever left her. As I said, the other accounts are very slightly different and you need to sort of put them together. But in this account, first he lifted her up. And Jesus does that for everyone. No matter what is happening in your life. Remember I said he knows how to handle us. And people are complicated. If you haven't discovered that yet, you will. They are complicated. But Jesus knows exactly what to do and how to do it. And he will always, in one way or another, lift you up. He doesn't want you to just see you lying there, sort of feeling miserable, in your squalor, whatever that may be. He wants to lift you out of it. And then the fever immediately left her. Further on down in Mark chapter 1, a leper came to him. Now again, this is very significant because a leper was someone that you did not touch for fear of getting their disease. It was a highly contagious disease. So a leper comes to Jesus. He knelt down in front of him. I'm reading from verse 40. And the leper speaks to him, "If you can, if you will, you can make me clean." Verse 41, Jesus, moved with compassion, and here it is, he stretches out his hand. That in itself is amazing, because every Pharisee and every priest and every scribe and every other religious person would have recoiled. They would have said, back off, don't come near. Jesus is not afraid of leprosy. And he's not afraid of contracting the disease. In fact, he's not afraid of anything. We've seen about criminals. I'm not going to mention politicians. But think about some criminals. Things that people have done, hateful things. Jesus is not afraid of that. He's not afraid of any sin, however deep and dire it may be. He's not afraid of it. He will stretch out his hand and he will put right that which is wrong if the person will allow Jesus to do that. Remember what the man said, "If you will." This man, and he knelt down before Jesus. It's like, "Jesus, I don't know if you can, but I think you're the only one who can. I surrender myself to you. Heal me. Touch me. Restore me. Make me whole. Remove that which is wrong in me. Take it out. Take it away. Put it right. Mend that which was broken. Repair that which had fallen apart. And make something good and useful out of this life, which was going nowhere." And Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I will, be clean." Mark chapter 5, we're just going to go through them quickly. Jesus had gone to one side of the lake, Galilee. He'd come back. And in verse 22 of Mark chapter 5, a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name, when he saw Jesus, and I don't know whether he'd been waiting for Jesus to come back, but as soon as he saw him, again he fell at his feet and begged him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray you, come and lay your hands on her," the hands of Jesus. This little girl, we know that she was 12 years old, was at the point of dying. "Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." And Jesus, again, no arguments, no need to sort of go through extensive details of what was going on. Jesus simply went with him. And along the way, there was another woman who came and touched the hem of his garment. But eventually, he comes to the house of Jairus. And when he arrives, the news is bad. The daughter, the little girl, 12 years old, had died. Jesus sees what's going on. He sees those who are weeping. But he goes into the house. It already said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid. Just," again, here it is, "just believe. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life." Jesus said to this man, don't be afraid. Trust me. Believe me. I am with you in this. We're going to go into this house, into the room together, and we're going to confront death. Jesus said, "She's just sleeping." They laughed, they mocked at him. But in verse, towards the end of verse 40, they go in, they enter into where the young girl was lying. Verse 41, he took the girl by the hand. It said, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, arise." Again, he lifted her up. And death departed. Life returned, and the girl was as if she had never died. Isn't that amazing? And she began to eat. Give her something to eat. This is the work of the hands of Jesus. No one else can do this. And we can do amazing things with our hands, some more than others. But Jesus does the most amazing things of all. If we ask him, if we will let him, and if we will believe. Mark chapter 8. Here is a blind man, and I'm not going to go through the story. It starts in verse 22. But Jesus touched him, and he asked him, "What do you see?" And in verse 24, he says, he looked up and he said, "I see men as trees walking." So in other words, although Jesus had touched him, his sight was not fully restored. It was blurred. So he could not see things clearly. "I see men as trees." They're like trees. He couldn't quite distinguish between a man and a tree. So what did Jesus do here? Did he sort of say, "Right, well, you know, I've done what I can. You're going to have to live with this. And, you know, I wish you well." What does Jesus do? Verse 25, he puts his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And his sight was restored. And then he saw every man clearly. You know, sometimes when we come to Jesus, we sometimes think, "Lord, you haven't done all that I thought you were going to do." And it's very easy to be tempted to be disappointed. But Jesus never disappoints. See, if there's a problem in our lives that we want God to sort out, he will. And sometimes he needs to touch us again. That's one of the benefits of coming together like this and meeting together. He touches us again. He may have touched you years previously, but he hasn't finished. He will touch again and again and again. He wants you to see clearly. He doesn't want you to go through life with blurred spiritual vision, not really understanding what it's all about. He wants us to have clear understanding, clear vision, clear knowledge of who he is, clear understanding of what this book is saying, clear understanding of why we meet together and how we are to love one another. Let me just quickly look at the last couple. Chapter 9, verse 27. Well, just quick background. A young boy is possessed with an evil spirit. Verse 26, as Jesus comes near, the spirit cried out, it tore him. "I'm going to Africa soon." This kind of thing is seen. And the spirit came out of him, and he appeared as one dead, insomuch as many said, "He is dead." And then what does Jesus do? Jesus took him by the hand, and again we read, "And he was lifted up, and he arose." Jesus does not do a half work. He doesn't just cast out the demon and leave the boy there to sort things out afterwards. He lifts him up, and Jesus always lifts people up. The last thing I want to look at is in chapter 10, and it concerns little children, small children, maybe some are slightly older. Verse 13, they brought young children to him that he should touch them. What a wonderful thing to be touched by Jesus. But unfortunately, his disciples rebuked those that brought them. So it seems that, again, some followers of Jesus don't always get it right. They got in the way. They were obstacles on this occasion. And when Jesus saw it, he was not happy. He wants everyone, young, old, and everyone in between. This afternoon I'm going to be going with to an old people's home, people right at the end of their lives. Jesus loves them too. He wants to be with them, as he wants to be with you. And teenagers, young adults, mums, dads, families, everything. He wants to be with them. He wants to touch. He wants to grab you by the hand. And he wants to lift you up. He says, allow them to come to me. Don't forbid them. No one is excluded. There's no sign saying prohibited. Do not enter. Nothing like that. Again, as we go to Africa, we'll be going through an airport and there'll be lots of signs saying, do not enter, prohibited, not this way, etc., etc. Every door that Jesus is by is open. It's unlocked. It's ready for us to go through. He wants to touch us. And when he receives these children, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, and we all must be like this, he shall not enter in. And then in verse 16, what does he do with these children? He takes them up in his arms. I don't know how many he managed to get into his arms. You know, in metaphorically, that means sort of in a picture. Jesus' arms are enormous. They're very, very long. He would gather everyone if he could. Every single child. Hundreds. Gather them all up together. He gathered them up into his arms. So maybe in one arm he held them, and with the other arm, with his hands, he put his hands upon them and he blessed them. Jesus blesses. He doesn't harm. He does not destroy. He doesn't do anything bad. He may rebuke. Someone prayed that earlier. He wants to correct where things are wrong, but he always does it in love. Jesus' hands are amazing things. He does so much with them. Let me finish with a question. Has his hands been at work in your life? Do you want them to? Say, Lord, here's my life. Like you did with wood when you were a carpenter. Taking something which was rough, not smooth, pieces, different pieces, and you put them together and you made something beautiful. Here's my life. Do exactly the same with your hands in me for your glory. Lift me up and bless me.